Right. Starting just a second. Morning, everyone. Today is Thursday, July 7th, 2011, at the Mid-Atlantic Christadelphian Bible School. Our teacher this morning is Brother Simon O'Grady, and his topic for the week is Daniel and his story. His title for today's class is Babylon and History. Brother Simon.
Thank you. Now, just a first correction. We're actually going to do Daniel Lyons today. We'll do Babylon's history tomorrow, I think. That's because I need a little bit more time to prepare. So can we do the same story? Do you mind just dishing these out? Thank you. Now, just a quick word of warning this morning. Don't tell Uncle Bob this, but last night I broke the rules. I stayed up past 11. I got talking to a fascinating brother from New Jersey. So I'm struggling a bit this morning. I've had three coffees, but it doesn't seem to be working. But every now and then I sort of do this. So if I do that, you know why. It's the caffeine sort of kicking in. But we'll see how we go. You know, a couple of days out from the end of the school, I can see a few tired faces around. It was a bit of a struggle getting out of bed this morning, wasn't it? So what we'll do, we're going to do this activity on Daniel and the Lion's Den. And yeah, that's fine. You want to go to sleep at the back again, do you? That's what he told me he'd do last night, so I'm not being rude. I just want to quickly make a couple of points about this. What you've noticed is we've been going through a bit of a general process that we said underpins all effective Bible reading and Bible study, where we begin with a fact accumulation stage. After a while, we can work out what the key principle concept is, then put it into practice and action. Now, I just want to explore this a little bit more because we're going to use it this morning. This is another diagram showing the same process. When we study anything, whether you're at school, at university, or whether you come to the scripture course, because our mind is made by God, his word is built as a counterpart to learn, knowledge, and understanding, we always start with a bunch of facts at the start, and they all coalesce into concepts or principles. Mathematics, by the way, is very much like this. So I don't know about you. Anyone here who doesn't like maths? You know, most people. I hated maths in the first 2-3 years of high school. I just didn't get it. And my average mark in mathematics was about 28%. Right, so it was pretty low. I just didn't get it. Didn't understand what was going on. And I didn't realise at that point, but the way they were teaching math just didn't work for me. And it's probably the same for many of you. What they teach you is a whole bunch of facts, right? Get this formula, do this, do this, do that, do that, and you get an answer. And you go, but why? Why is that an answer? What have you just done? You know what I mean? So there's this rote learning fact process, and you don't get the concept or principle. And that became a real problem to me. In fact, in the last 2 years of high school in New Zealand, you do what we call school certificate exams, NCEAs. And they're really important because they get you entry into university. The better they are, better university you go to. Probably similar here, right? Well, in this country, better marks, more money you have, better university you get into, right? So at about the middle part of that year, I went to a boys-only sort of a school, one of the first schools established in New Zealand, and sort of all the lawyers and doctors and politicians' sons went there. The only reason I got in there is because my father and his father and his father had been there, so it was sort of this connection. I wasn't ever would have. I'm not smart enough. But what happened at the middle part of that year, they sent a letter to my parents, said, we're not going to let Simon sit any of the maths exams. See, because what that would do would bring down the average mark of the school. So a bit cheeky, right? And that did two things. One, it annoyed me. Second, it shocked me because I always had a vague idea that, look, yeah, one day I'll get the books out and I'll get the hang of it and get 51% and pass. But I wasn't going to get the opportunity. So what I did those school holidays, I went down to the shop, and you can buy the syllabus for maths just in a book about that fact. And I spent a couple of weeks reading it. And, you know, it actually was quite interesting because I started finding out the whole thing was structured around trying to get your concept to principle, and I found out that's the bit I was missing. So vector maths and all this sort of fascinating stuff, I suddenly got the concept and principle, and it got really interesting. And when I got back, they had a test exam. They let me do that. And at the end of the week, teacher gave all the marks out except mine. And she said, I want to see you afterwards. So I went up to her afterwards, and she said, look, Simon, we don't like cheating in this school. I said, what do you mean? She says, I want you to own up. How did you get a copy of the exam before we let it out? I says, what do you mean? Well, you got 99% in it, and that's not possible. So, and she really thought I was cheating. And they called my parents in, and my parents said, no, you spent all holidays reading this book. And I suddenly at that point realised, this is the whole key, right? You don't get this. It's just a bunch of facts. You don't get it. And it's the same scripturally speaking. So we're starting with facts, but we want to get the concept, the idea of principle. Once you got it, that's eternal. Then you can go out and apply it. Because, of course, if you go and tell people, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you should do this, and you should do something else in the truth or in life, but you've got no concept of principle, you go, why should I? It's really critical to get that point. Essentially, concept of principle is why you do things, and the application is what you do. You've got to go together. So that's why we're looking at this particular framework. We're going to apply it here. Now, here's another way of viewing it. This comes with the School of Prophets course that we run in Australia and New Zealand. We look at three particular tools. We'll get out of the way. We very quickly introduced the idea of thought chunking before, breaking down the components small. This morning we're going to use key repeated words or mind maps, all right? So we're going to start colouring it and see that this story of Daniel actually is essentially a string of repeated words. And when you see those repeated words, all of a sudden you'll see there's this incredible concept that comes out of the story of Daniel and the lion's den. It's not just a story, and then we can put it into practice. So that's what we're going to follow this morning. So, without further ado, what I think we'll do is put this nice picture up. And let's read through it. Now, this time we're not going to just read one line each, because I thought that was sort of like, I think if my daughters were in the audience, they would have said, Dad, that was a fail. All right? Don't work. Don't do it again. So we're just going to read one verse each. It's going to be much easier. And can we start here and sort of then move zigzag around? And the other thing is you'll see that it actually carries on the back. All right? So let's start with Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 to 28. As all good Bible study, you have to read it first. So let's go. Yeah, sorry, it's a bit tricky, that one.
Against Daniel concerning the kingdom, they could find no fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him.
Then said his name, you shall not find any occasion
against
this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.
Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and this unto him.
That shall ask petition of any god or man in 30 days,
save thee, O king? Should we cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not.
Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored for the going down of the sun to deliver him.
Then these men assembled unto the king, and said to the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed.
Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee.
And a stone was brought, and laid upon the mouth of the den, and he put it over it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning the king. Then the king went to his palace, and passed the night thus. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his food brought to him.
Then the king arose very early in the morning, and went in haste unto the den of lions.
And when he came to the den, he cried in a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?
And said Daniel unto the king, O servant,
my God hath sent his angels, to have shut the lions' mouth, that they have not heard you. For as much as before him, and since he was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no good.